Well, tonight I want to talk to you about when two can't tango. You know, I was reading recently, I've been doing a lot of study verses that relate to God's relationship to the living creatures, and that's interesting. But I ran across this scripture, and I couldn't get away from it. I kept feeling a tug toward it. And so finally, I just grabbed hold of it. And so I want to just share some truth out of this very unusual verse of Scripture tonight in Deuteronomy chapter 22, verse 10. You shall not plow with an ox and a donkey together. You shall not plow with an ox and a donkey together. Now, I got to be honest with you. When I ran across it, I was like, you know, this is God's Word, inspired of Holy Scripture, revelation from the God of the universe. He's revealing to Moses the Scriptures that we now have. And of all the things that you might think of that people would really need to know, I doubt any of us in the room would have included this. You shall not plow with an ox and a donkey together. Now, how many of you own a donkey tonight? Any of you own a donkey? Okay. All right. I don't think we probably know many people that own donkeys. But back in this day, it really had a lot to do. When you're talking about oxen and donkey and cattle and so forth, that was their livelihood. And so this was important enough to Jehovah God Himself for it to become a statute to be obeyed by His people. In other words, it would greatly displease the Lord for someone to plow their field by yoking an ox with a donkey. Now why? Why would that be the case? And since most of us are not, at least not plowing fields today with neither oxen nor donkey nor mule, so it may not be literally applicable in that sense, but I believe it's very applicable in a number of ways that I want to share with you tonight. When two can't tango. Now, first of all, we're going to stay with the scripture for a while. I want you to notice a few things. First of all, I want you to notice it's all right to plow. Obviously, plowing's a good thing. How many of you ate today? Well, somebody had to be plowing for you to be eating. Somewhere at some time. Well, not me, preacher. I'm a meat eater only. I'm carnivore. Well, somebody probably had to butcher whatever you ate. And I imagine they had to eat something that required some plowing to have the strength to provide that for you. So, ultimately, if you're eating, somebody is plowing. It's all right to plow. Also, it's all right to plow with oxen. Many places in Scripture, Old and New Testament, Old Testament particularly, you see people plowing with oxen. And I think it's all right to biblically say it's all right to plow with a donkey. That's not the preferred method, but it's probably fine to plow with a donkey. Just don't plow with a donkey yoked to an ox. But why? Why? So it's all right to plow. It's all right to plow with oxen. It's all right to plow with donkeys. It's just not all right to plow with them yoked together. Now, the bottom of this is, if you do plow by yoking an ox with a donkey, the end result's going to be you're going to more than likely wish you had not. God's laws are always for our blessing and benefit. He's thinking of us when He puts these things in place. So anything He tells us to avoid, we would do well to avoid. Now let me share with you just some statements and wrap some truth around these statements. The first thing I want to share with you out of this is God wants you to be fruitful and productive in your field. In Bible days, plowing the field, again, it was an agrarian culture. That is, agriculture was their part of all their daily lives. They had to, so to speak, work a garden for their livelihood. And that, a lot of times that was currency. Hey, I'll swap you some of my squash for some of your potatoes and so forth. So here, God is forbidding them to plow with an ox and a donkey yoked together because nothing good's going to come of it. But He wants something good to come of your life. He wants you to be fruitful and productive in your field. This whole picture is a farmer in a field holding a plow, being pulled either by oxen or by donkeys, but not an ox and a donkey. That's the picture. It's God communicating. I want you to be plowing because I want your crops to be blessed. I want your field to be blessed so that your life can be blessed. He wants us to be fruitful and He wants us to be productive. So this speaks to, growing our livelihood. Now you may not be working a garden for your livelihood, but what are you doing? And I believe we can apply some of these same principles to whatever field of endeavor the Lord has you in. There's a lot of applications. This is applicable to all of us as workers in the Lord's field evangelistically. He wants us to be fruitful. He wants us to go forth and then come back bringing our sheaves with us, having reaped a harvest. So we see that. Now, the second thing I want to share with you is you must make good, strong, foundational decisions. Again, what's the imagery here? What's the man doing, going to do? What's the Lord talking about when He makes this prohibition? You see that man plowing, right? Or in some cases a woman. But someone's at a plow. You have to, in order to reap, first, you've got to sow, right? But before you sow, what do? You plow. I mean, that's the basic thing. You cultivate, you plow. And so, in order to reap a harvest, you've got to plow first. It's the first thing. So this speaks of foundational things. If you're going to yoke an ox and a donkey, and we'll get more into why that's a problem in a few moments, but if you're going to do that, you're doing that in order to plow, and you're plowing in order that you might sow, and you're sowing that ultimately you might reap. So if you don't start out well, it's going to slow everything down. It's going to throw everything out of sync. And so a principle here is, always keep first things first. Put the big rocks in the bucket first. You've heard the illustration. And you want to make good, strong, foundational decisions. Because this instruction has to do with farmers going out in this whatever time of the year, spring of the year. I know some have dual seasons where they may plow in spring and fall, depending on the climate. But the time of the year for planting a garden, and the first thing you do primarily is you plow. You break up the ground. And we see terms in Scripture like break up the fallow ground. What you're doing is you're preparing the soil to receive the seed so that that seed can be successful and produce you a harvest. So the Lord wants us to do things the right way. We've all growing up probably had some parental advice or from teachers about, don't do things right. Don't cut corners. Because cutting corners ultimately will cost you more. People cut corners to try to save a little, but across time it will cost you more than just doing it right to start with. So you must make good, strong, foundational decisions. Now you're going to see how these things link together as we move through this, because where the picture here is of yoking two wrong things together. One foundational thing in our life is who are we going to yoke ourselves to spiritually? Everybody's yoked to somebody. And if you look at even the teaching of Jesus, he talks about come to him. His yoke is easy. His burden is light in Matthew 11. Or you can be yoked with the enemy. You can be yoked with the world. You can be yoked and bound. Or you can be yoked to Jesus and know that by walking in cadence with him, living in rhythm with him, that there's going to be productivity and growth and development and advancement and blessing and success in your life. Another area of this foundational decisions that leads to, you know, what you're going to be yoked to, of course, is marriage. And the scripture is clear in 2 Corinthians chapter 6, we're instructed to not be unequally yoked together with unbelievers. And you can find that scripture in 2 Corinthians 6:14 and following. Do not be unequally yoked together with unbelievers, for what fellowship has righteousness with lawlessness, and what communion has light with darkness? And I you know, when you're in a yoke, as like in a term of a relationship, it's important, particularly when it relates to marriage, that you have the same values, you have the same beliefs. The scripture is very clear about this. When you're making a decision as important as entering into a covenant and being yoked with someone the rest of your life, the scripture says you need to be yoked with another believer. You know, the scripture really doesn't teach missionary dating and missionary courting. You know, well, I'm just going to believe that God's going to save them. No, to be equally yoked means that you spiritually are in the same place. And I would even press in a little bit on that and say it's important for us to, for that not to be superficial even among believers. Let's, you know, be committed to go deeper together, to pray together, to study God's Word together, to attend worship together, to consult the scripture and develop your values together, because that will save a lot of heartache across time. And if you've already made that decision, say, well, you know, my spouse doesn't know the Lord, what am I to do? You pray for them and you let your light shine that Christ in you would influence them. And you don't just bail out. No, you begin to pray and you intercede. But if you haven't already made that choice, be sure that you find someone that's walking with the Lord. That's you've heard me teach this a number of times in Genesis chapter 2. God created Adam. Adam had an experience with God personally. He took a rib out of Adam, and then he created a woman, and it says, and he brought the woman to the man. Adam knew God before he knew Eve, and Eve knew God before she knew Adam, and God brought them together. That's Christian marriage. That's biblical marriage. And that's what God desires for our children, our children's children, and for each of us. So it's very, very important. And even as believers, again, pressing in a little bit, there can be great difficulty and division in the home if the husband has one set of biblical beliefs and the wife has a set that's quite different. Now, if we all huddle together, we might have difficulty finding a whole lot of things that we all just agree on exactly, right? But we can fellowship and we can worship the Lord together. Now, if you confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, that you believe he was born of a virgin and came and died on the cross, was buried, and God raised him from the dead, and you're saved by his sacrifice alone, by faith in him, that's the basis of our fellowship. But if you deny that Jesus came in the flesh, in other words, he was born of a virgin, if you deny that, if you deny that he died on the cross for your sins, or you deny that he literally, bodily rose from the dead, then we can't be in agreement. I mean, that's holy, sacred ground. Now, when he's coming back, he is coming back. There's people believe a lot of different things about the end times. Those do not form the basis of your salvation. But we should never make anything a basis of our fellowship that God doesn't make a basis of our salvation. But please realize that not everyone who says that they believe the Bible and they're Christian, does that necessarily mean the same thing that you may think it means. And so, like, when you're thinking about making a life commitment to someone, you need to discuss those things. Those are very important. And even other things become important because that's one thing I try to talk to people about. Okay, you're going to be married, but you grew up in this denomination, you grew up in that denomination. Where are your children going to attend? Or have you talked about whether you want to have children? And so forth. Those things, and I'm not saying you're going to always discuss your place to a place of complete resolution, but those are things, good things to dialogue about, because they're weighty matters and they're serious matters. These are foundational things. So here, because providing a living for themselves is the hard way, God wanted them to do it the right way, and trying to plow a field with an ox and a donkey yoke together, slow things down, throw things off course, and it may not ever really get done. And we'll talk about why in just a moment. The next area, next statement I want to make is you have to cultivate properly in order to reap productively. That's another reason this prohibition's in Scripture. You have to cultivate properly if you're going to reap productively. Today we have computerized tractors that run by GPS, and they can set their maps on their tractor and just start driving. And the computer on that tractor will make the decision, okay, we're going to put so much fertilizer in this area of the field because it's checked the pH and the moisture content and the nitrogen and all the different things, and it'll put what needs to be there for that ground to maximize. And it'll the same way on the seed. And it's just amazing. Back then, it was all done by man, by hand. You know, Jesus talked about he who puts the hand to the plow and looks back is not fit for the kingdom. That he was using agricultural imagery from his day. I remember as a little guy and helping my dad, called myself helping it, I was probably in his way. But my grandmother had an old mule named Frank. And I remember having cleaned out Frank's stall and helping my grandmother carry the manure to put around the tomatoes and all that kind of stuff. But old Frank, my uncle would plow and my dad would plow him, and I'd hold down this lower thing on the plow and try to walk. But old Frank was a mule. And I had an uncle that we lived a half a mile up the hill, and I could hear him cursing old Frank as a little boy way up there. You know, because he had a mind of his own. That's the way it was in Bible days. You know, there had to be this relationship between people and their animals. You know, train their animals. I remember G and Hall. I hear my dad cry that out, and we were watching him plow behind a mule when I was just a little guy. That's the way it was. And as we're about to see, the ox has some great strengths. And the donkey has some great strengths. Both have weaknesses. But when you put them together, instead of getting a fruitful result, you just get a bunch of frustration. So the Lord, another reason the Lord's putting this prohibition in Scripture is in order for you to eliminate a lot of frustration and have more fruitfulness in your life by principle. By principle. The next thing, you must avoid teaming oxen with donkeys. And it could have just said avoid using donkeys. Because oxen was the preferred animals to plow with. Oxen were big and strong. You can see the size differential on the image on the screen. And there's a lot of applications to that in personal relationships and power dynamics between people and chemistry between people and personality differences and aggressive people versus non-aggressive people. And you could go right down the line of things that can be problem issues. But here's an ox and a donkey, and it's about which one are you going to have the most fruitfulness and the greatest harvest by using. Well, just don't put them together, but it's going to be oxen probably. If all you got is donkeys, then plow with donkeys together, but not oxen and a donkey. So you must avoid taming donkeys with oxen. They're just two different animals. They are each at their best when they're allowed to do what they do best. Let me say that again. They are each at their best when they're each allowed to do what they do best. And so are we. Doesn't mean we shouldn't stretch, improve, but the oxen were large. They were easier to domesticate. And an ox is basically a bull that's been made sterile. And they would pick the largest ones that had been sterilized. They would be easier to domesticate after that, but they would be big and stout and strong, slow but very steady. And a team of oxen, it's amazing how much power and strength they had. They could pull large loads, but they could pull a plow and plow it deep. So oxen were really made to plow together. And an application, because these oxen had been made sterile, they weren't trying to reproduce something for themselves. And we can apply that to our kingdom living. You know, if you team up with somebody that's got their own agenda and they're trying to make a name for themselves, or they're trying to build their ministry, or they're trying to do their thing instead of the team thing, the kingdom thing, the Lord's thing, there's a problem. So this is another reason oxen were good to plow. They were trained to only be concerned at what the person doing the plowing was telling them. In other words, their master's voice. Donkey, that's another matter we'll talk about in just a moment. But a farmer could have a good team of oxen. He could get a good work, a day's work done. He could plow straight lines with them. I remember another thing. I remember as a little guy, you know, they talk about how they plow, you know. They'd start a row and they'd pick, on the other end of the field, they'd pick a tree or a fence post or a point of origin and they would plow toward that line. Plow straight line. But if you got an oxen with a donkey, you're gonna have a funky looking line. And you may not have much of a line at all. You must avoid teaming oxen with donkeys. Oxen can pull their weight. Oxen are very strong. They can walk in step and plow straight line. What a beautiful picture of teamwork. Like the military train. You know, they're trained to march in step. And there's a purpose behind that. Somebody's sounding the cadence. And they learn by the voice they're hearing to move in step, synchronized together. There's more efficiency, there's less effort required, there's more accomplished. But if somebody gets out of step, then people start getting tripped up, and the next thing you know, people are falling left and right. All of that's done so that in the battlefield, when the commander says something, people know they move to what they're hearing. There's a whole purpose. People are not out there doing their own thing. They're moving as a unit. And so you have to avoid teaming oxen with donkeys. Again, if the goal is to be productive and fruitful and have strong foundations in our life and to be able to sow effectively so that we can reap productively and so forth, then this is important. You must not avoid teaming oxen with donkeys. Now let's talk about donkeys. They have some strengths, but donkeys are known to be very stubborn. They're known to literally just to, you know, park their hoofs and refuse to move. Resistant. No matter who's trying to tell them to do something. They just want to do what they want to do. One thing interesting that about donkeys is that they are very good guard animals. Like you would have a guard dog. Donkeys are incredible at guarding things, which tells us that, you know, they're territorial and they think they're the big cheese on the block, and so they're going to protect everybody. But you can pull up YouTube videos. Don't do that right now. And you can see videos of donkeys like grabbing wolves, even hyenas. I saw one of like taking on an alligator and do them in. It's amazing how strong they got big, loud mouths. Donkeys do. They bray. Like some farmers get them to guard their sheep. I saw a news story of farmers in Colorado because of wolves that are making a comeback. They bought donkeys to be with their flocks, and when the wolves come, they get between the wolves and the sheep and take them on. I mean, they're mean. They're mean. They're bold. They're called bold, brave brayers. Brave brayers. And so donkeys can be used as guard dogs. They're stubborn, have loud mouths. So they do have some utilitarian purpose. But you don't want to plow with a donkey. And you certainly don't want to try to plow with a donkey and an ox yoked together. That's like trying to get a Alabama and Auburn fans together and lead a peace conference. You know? That just don't jive. Oxen and donkeys do not jive together. These two do not tango. When we lived in Haleville, there was a family we knew. It was a very well-to-do family, and they had some very expensive horses. And they had bought a very expensive horse, and they couldn't get it trained. Well, he got to doing some research and asking around and making some calls, and he was instructed to buy a donkey. And they yoked this little old donkey to this big old expensive horse. And it wasn't long that little stubborn donkey had that big horse doing whatever he wanted it to do. But that enabled the owner to be able to train that horse. Stubborn donkeys. So you can imagine getting a donkey yoked to an ox that's more easy going, even though it's bigger. And it's going to have its way. No matter who's got the reins and making the call, if it don't want to move, it's not going to move. If it wants to go right, if it wants to go ha when you're wanting to go G, or wants to go G when you're wanting to go ha, you just got trouble on your hands. And so the Lord, He thought this important enough that He says, tells Moses, you tell my people, thou shalt not plow with an ox and a donkey, key word here, an ox and a donkey together. Together, there's some things in life that just don't work well together. There's going to be some people in your life that tries you might. You just are not able to get things productively done together. Yeah, because they may have their own way. They have their own agenda, their own values. And so the Lord's bringing this into the real world for these people and telling these farmers and listen, when you get to farming, this is going to save you a lot of heartache. If you want to have more fruit and less frustration, then you use donkeys for what they're good at, and you use oxen for what they're good at, but don't you bring them together. You see, even in our lives, some things that you might do well, when you put somebody else together with you that may do something else well, it may cause you not to do what you do well, very well. That oxen will not be able to accomplish what it could accomplish because it's yoked up with that donkey. Aww. You get the hint? So, we need to understand this. Now, I will bring out one other useful thing about donkeys. The biblical record does contain an occasion when God indeed did choose to speak to a man through a donkey. It was the prophet Balaam. And sometimes in our lives, we can learn some big lessons through the donkey. There may have been times when we've been the donkey because of our stubbornness or our hard-headedness. And so we're learning from this that we need discernment. We need discretion. And now, please don't hear me saying tonight that we should leave here and say, well, if somebody's different than I am, I don't need to yoke. Well, that's not what I'm saying. Most marriages are made up of two people that are very, very different. What we're talking about here is God's purposes. There's a purpose here to plow a field, to produce a harvest. We're making application to that. You don't want to yoke up with someone that's going to keep you from fulfilling God's purpose or be a hindrance to you having the fruit of the Holy Spirit in your life or seeing the kingdom advanced in your life. That's the application we're making tonight. There's a big difference. We can be very different and still be in complete unity. And that brings us to the last thing I want to share. The goal is alignment, agreement, and being equally yoked together. Get that image in your hand. You're in a field and you're plowing. You want to plow a straight line. You want to do a good job time and time again until you get that field cultivated so you can plant the seed and have a harvest. So what you're wanting, that team that's pulling the plow, your yoke, you're wanting everything evened out. You want it to be in alignment. You want all the traces and everything working good. And so you can just plow smoothly, efficiently, straight ahead. That's the goal. The goal is alignment, agreement, and being equally yoked together. We've already seen 2 Corinthians 6, don't be unequally yoked together. You know, you want to live the straight and narrow way, right? You want to sow the seed of the kingdom. You want to produce the hundredfold, the 30, 60, and 100-fold. That's what we're talking about here. And if you are unequally yoked, then it's someone that's not in agreement with that. Amos 3:3 says, except two people be agreed, they can't walk together. If we said the goal, if there's two of us get together, our goal is to walk to Athens, Alabama together tonight. And you say, well, I'm going to head east. And the other one says, well, I'm going west. Well, both of you may say you have the same destination, but the other one may eventually get there, but he's going to have to go around the world to get there. Right? You hear what I'm saying? Except to be agreed, they can't walk together. The goal is alignment, agreement, and being equally yoked together. There's a big difference in there's a difference between being in unity and agreement. There's a difference between unity and sameness. There's a difference. We can be very different, yet be in complete unity. As a matter of fact, look around, we are very different. But we're here tonight in agreement. We're here tonight in alignment. we're yoked together with Jesus tonight around a common person to fulfill a common purpose for our King. So let's be careful to keep all of this in mind. Being different can often make a difference. But some people just enjoy being different in a defiant way. And that's when we start getting into donkeyness. Would you have chosen the 12 people Jesus chose? I mean, honestly, if you were about to start some big enterprise. But you know what he did? He went up on the mountain, he prayed all night, and he got a word from God. And God, who sees people, what they're designed to do, he put that team together. And one of them ended up being a donkey, right? He ended up hanging himself and causing a lot of trouble, but God even chose to use that. That was part of God's plan. When I was in the fifth grade, of course this has been years ago, the high school band director would come to the elementary school. We were located a few miles apart in the little area I lived at then. And he would come from the high school over to the elementary school, and he would get the fifth graders together and the sixth graders together separately. But he was developing future band members. So when they got to high school. And so in the fifth grade, just pretty much the whole class, we went. And all the boys wanted to play the drums. You know, that was the thing. I think he asked for raise of hands. And he asked for drums. All the boys raised their hands. Of course, only one of us, and it wasn't me, got to do the drums. But he lined us all up. And I never will forget this. He went down the row and he would look at us. And he had us pucker our lips. And he would look and he'd say, okay, I'm going to put you on the trumpet. I'm going to use you on the clarinet. He put me on the trombone. But it was like with his knowledge of what was needed to accomplish the sound and to play the instrument, you know, that was his starting point. I don't know if he got it 100% right or not. But he knew enough about it to look at a person and say, and basically, this is what you're designed to play. You know? And I think that's what the Holy Spirit wants to work us to be able to do. Even though we may be so different, to help us see, this is what you're designed to do. This is what you do well. And that will usually be that which causes your heart to come alive. And he'll look at somebody else. And then in the church, the Lord will begin to assemble. And when everybody's doing what they do best, then we have an orchestra in place. And it's a symphony. But if you've got someone that can only play drums and you hand them the trumpet, you know, it's or somebody that can't play drums and put them on the drums, it throws everything off. There's so many applications of this verse of what's a donkey. And I don't mean to just brand the donkey the bad guy here. I kind of leaned that way tonight. But don't see it that way. Both of them have strengths in different ways. They each have strengths of things they do best, but when they're put together, that combination may not work well. That's where we need the direction of the Holy Spirit to know what we're designed to do. And there's a beautiful picture in Ephesians 4 of when the fivefold ministry is working in a church. All the joints come together. And each through the joints, every bone, every part of the body gets the strength that it needs. If my knee joint, if my thigh bone and my leg bone, you know, that where they come together at the joint, if they don't get together and work right, I can't walk. And in the church, it's when we are able to identify and know what place we have in the body and we're connected and the Holy Spirit's flowing through me to you and you to the next person, the next person, the next person, then to me and so forth, then we're getting what the body needs supplied in order to stand up as the body of Christ in the earth and advance, sow the seed, plow the fields, sow the seed, pray, and watch God give the increase. So we have to die to our personal agendas and humble ourselves. Here I am, Lord, use me. And let the Lord yoke us together in a way that we will enter those fields that are ripe unto harvest and see a beautiful thing happen. And I want to conclude this by asking a question, just as another application. Is there something, a thing or a habit, maybe a person, a relationship, that hinders you from fulfilling God's purpose in your life? Pray into that. Lord, is there some way, am I resisting your voice? Apply it to your marriage. Are you equally yoked together? Are you pulling your weight spiritually, men, as the spiritual leader in the home? Are you pulling your weight, wives, you know, and having the attitude and heart of humility that you should have? We're going to accomplish more when we're in alignment and agreement and equally yoked. Are we doing our part? Are we hindering someone from doing their part? Am I encouraging us forward? Am I resisting and holding things back? Apply this in the way the Lord would have you apply it. But again, you shall not plow with an ox and a donkey together. What's the Lord speaking to you tonight? Would you bow with me? Lord, I thank you for this simple verse of Scripture that has so many applications. I pray, Father, in the name of Jesus, that your Holy Spirit would just apply this message to our hearts now. And Lord Jesus, we humble ourselves as your people here tonight. And you said in Matthew 11 to take your yoke upon us to learn of you, that your yoke is easy and your burden is light. So Lord Jesus, may we be yoked together with you. May we move in cadence with you. May we be fruitful. May we come into alignment with your purpose, your plan for our lives. May we be in spiritual unity with one another. Thank you for the unity of the Spirit and the bond of peace. Lord, forgive us, forgive me for days when we get into some donkey behaviors. Forgive us, Lord, for being stubborn at times. Forgive us, Lord, of being resistant to your Holy Spirit. To being deaf to your voice. Oh, Holy Spirit, remove needless burdens tonight. bring breakthrough in hardened areas of our heart and our attitude and our thinking. Lord Jesus, help us to put our hands to the plow tonight and lead fruitful lives, productive lives. May we reap a God-honoring, great harvest here in this northwest area of Alabama, because we are following your commandments, being led by your Spirit, and keeping our hands at the plow, plowing straight ahead, the straight and narrow way. Take a moment and just reflect. Spend a moment in prayer with the Lord personally. I'm going to ask some of our leaders to be here, our prayer team members for tonight. Would you come and just be here? If any of you, as we stand, if any of you need prayer, just make your way to the front. We'll have someone here to pray with you. It may be you need to lay a burden down tonight. It may be you need to pray for grace to come to help you with whatever battle you're facing tonight. And I would encourage one and all to continue to press in and ask the Holy Spirit, Holy Spirit, is there any way I'm hindering what you want to do in my life? May we be compliant to your gentle tugs, Lord. May we be guided and governed by your Spirit and your Word. We're going to begin to worship. If you need prayer, just come to the front. Anyone? Invite them to come with you in Jesus' name. God bless you.